we just did half of this piece, the easier part. So let me just bring us a little bit up to date. I'm going to go over 5 minutes, and we'll finish up this piece, and that'll be it, the Mitzvah Shem until after Pesach. The Rabbi Avni Nezer is talking about the definition of when it says in the Torah, Avinu Mitzrayim is B'nei Yisrael B'farach. What does it mean, Avodas Perach? And we know that there's a definition in Halacha. Halacha defines, regarding the Eved Ivri, Avodas Perach is not backbreaking labor, necessarily. The Halachic definition is that somebody has another person work to do something for you, which is absolutely no tachlis. There's no point to it. There's no purpose. Like, he just to be spiteful, to exert his control over the slave, he says, boil up this water for me, even though he doesn't need the water. That's called Avodas Perach, because there's no tachlis. And that's the most frustrating and the most bitter type of slave. You're not getting anywhere. You're not getting anywhere. That's called Avodas Perach. So the Rebbe asked, like, that wasn't in the Gezeira of the Bris Ben Abisarim. There wasn't any mention of Avodas Perach. Also, we see that in Mitzrayim, that the Chazal tells the men did the women's work, and the women were forced to do the men's work. And obviously that's counterproductive, so the point of the Egyptians was to humiliate and to dehumanize with this type of Avodas Perach, which is not for the purpose of productivity, it's for the purpose of dehumanization. That's the Tachlis. And all of a sudden the Rebbe leaves that. The other Nezer leaves that. And he goes into this mysterious Chazal that tells us that all redemptions that ever took place for the Jewish people and the future redemption take place through the end letters of the Aleph Beis, right? The end Mem, the end Nun. They're called Menatzpach. The end letters. That all redemptions, all Geulas take place through Menatzpach. And not only through the end letters, but the end letters that are used in a double form. So he explained that you see that Avraham Avinu, it says Lech Lecha. So the Chaf is doubled. Lech Lecha. Then by Yitzchak it says Ki Atzamta Mimenu Ma'od. Mimenu Ma'od. So the Mem is doubled. Then by Yaakov Avinu says Hatzileni Na. Hatzileni na miyadochim yad Esav, save me from my brother. So it's a double nun. In Mitzrayim, of course, the code was pakod pakadati, double pay. And the future redemption is going to be with a double tzadik, with each tzamach shemo umitachtav yitzmach, tzamach yitzmach, double tzadik. So these letters are the letters of redemption, the end letters. Why is it that the end letters, Davka, are the letters of redemption? The Rebbe explains, they're called kfulos, they're double letters. And there's a double quality to the redemption of the Jewish people. But first, he brought that remarkable chazal that tells us that Rabbi Yochanan, I'm just reviewing for 5 minutes. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was at the time of the Churban, was going along the road with some of his colleagues, Talmidim, and there was a Jewish woman that was bent over picking out some barley from the manure of the donkeys from the Arabs. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai asked her, who are you? So she said that she was the daughter of Nakhdima ben Gurion. Nakhdima ben Gurion was one of the noblemen of Yerushalayim, one of the richest people of Jerusalem. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai cried, and he said, Ashreichem Yisrael, how fortunate are the Jewish people. How fortunate they are, because when they are connected to Hashem, then there's no nation in the world that can control them. There's no nation in the world that can subjugate them. But at a time when they're not Osir Mitzvah Shalom Bakom, when they're not behaving in accordance to God's will, so then they are given over to the lowest of nations, not only to the lowest of nations, but to the lowest animal from the lowest of nations, the donkey from the nation of the Arabim, of the Arabs. And the Avni Nezer brings the Maharal. Obviously, that needs to be explained. That doesn't sound like something we have a great deal of nachas from. Ashreichem Yisrael, how fortunate you are. And the Maharal explains, this is a very, very big teaching, the Maharal, in many places. The Maharal tells us that all the nations of the world, all of the other nations of the world, with the exception of Yisrael, they have mitzvahs, they have a reality within a certain order, the natural order of things that Hashem has established in the world. Therefore, even at a time when things are not going well, they have a certain minimal amount of mitzvahs of reality, and according to that level of minimal existence, they have a minimal lifestyle in accordance to that minimal level of existence, even during a Yerida. But the Jewish people, the entire mitzvahs, the whole essence of the Jewish people and their existence in this world is completely from Hashem. It's only from Hashem. and they live in that relationship with Hashem, when if they're not osir mitzvah shel makom, if they're not obeying God's will, it's not that they sort of go through this natural state of disintegration. If they're not with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then they have no mitzvahs at all. I mean, that's the whole mitzvah, is to be osir mitzvah shel makom, to obey God's will. And if they're neglectful of God's will, they have no mitzvahs. It's not like they go through the natural decline that world empires go through. They have no mitzvahs at all, because their entire mitzvah is only Hashem. Akadekach, that if things are not going well, they're given over to the lowest of nations, to the lowest animals from the lowest of nations. And that's at the time when they are Osir Mitzvah Hashem Malkum, when the Jewish people are observing Hashem's will, then there's no nation there's nobody that can have control of them, because their existence is completely supernatural. Either in a good way, or God forbid, in a way that's supernaturally bad. But there's no happy middle of the road for the Jewish people. It's either a way up, or God forbid, way down. And that's how he explained at the end. He just added on, and this is where we're going to start with now, that the Avos, why is it that the Jewish people came from the Avos and Imahos, who could not have children, who could not naturally conceive? They were Akarim, they were barren. And the reason is because it had to be that the birth of the Jewish people would take place in a way that was not at all part of the Metzias, that wasn't at all part of physical reality. Therefore, it was a miraculous thing for the Jewish people to come into existence, as I explained at length, last week. The whole existence of Klal Yisrael is completely totally in Hashem. We began as a nation that had no natural place in the order of existence, because the women couldn't have children. So it was with a nace, because this is the nature of Klal Yisrael. This is the mitzvahs of Klal Yisrael. So now we're up to the double letters. We're on the bottom of that page, the bottom of the first page, the last paragraph. Lefize. So now we can understand. And according to this, we can understand why is it that the redemption of the Jewish people is alluded to in the double letters, in those letters that have two, right? The Menatzbach have two letters. No other letters in Hebrew obviously have doubles. Only the Menatzbach have doubles. Mem, Nun, Tzadik, Tayichof, the end of letters have doubles. So what does that have to do with redemption? That we see that all redemptions always took place with those letters that have double letters, and in a way that the beginning of each of the redemptions was with a double use of that letter. Lech lecha, ki atzamta mimenu ma'od, pakod pakarti, atzilei na. Why? Ki b'chol ha'umas kishahin b'golos, ein echaseh yuzel esila kerech ha'meshabit. Because all of the nations of the world, when they're in a state of exile, and when they're being subjugated by another nation, the only thing that they are missing when they are being subjugated is freedom from the oppressor. That's all that's missing. That has to be taken away. The meshabed has to be removed. The one who is enslaving that nation has to be taken away. And once the unnatural mishabed, the master, is removed, so then that nation that was previously enslaved can return to its normal mitzvahs, to its normal reality, its normal lifestyle. Aval b'Yisrael, but by the Jewish people, that's not how it works. That's not how it works. Aval b'Yisrael, nosaf al silo koach ha-mishabdim, it's not enough to remove the one who has subjugated us, to take away the one who is controlling us. See, the Jewish people don't have a natural order to return to, because we don't exist in a natural state of things. Therefore, the Jewish people, the fact that the Mishabed is taken away, the one who is enslaving us is taken away, doesn't mean that then we could just become like a regular nation. That was, as you know, that was Ben-Gurion's wish in Israel, that Jews should have Jewish criminals, and there should be all those things, etc. And his hope was that we should settle to be, or he was said, you know, we're tired of being the chosen people, and we want to be a regular people.
It's curious that the language he uses is the same language, the opposite of what the Rambam said, the Mos HaMashiach, in vain, the Mos HaMashiach.
The Gemara. Shibud Malchus Bilvat. Shibud Malchus Bilvat. Right.
If all we have is Shibud Malchus too, how we do?
No, so
it's odd language.
Yeah, not really. First, keep in mind that the tzaddikim. That's the Gemara. Shmuel says that in the Gemara in Sanhedrin. But keep it in mind. It's in Brachos and Shabbos and Sanhedrin. But keep in mind that the Gedolei Olam, the Ari HaKadosh, and the Baal Shem Tov and the Talmidei Baal Shem Tov did not subscribe to that view of only Shibud Malchus. That's the only difference. Number one. Number two, that's not the first time that they disagree with the Rambam, Yadua. Number two, the question of whether or not there's going to be a miraculous order of things or lack of order of things when Mashiach will come, so even within the writings of the Rambam in Hilchos Malachim, it's not clear that will be the only difference throughout the period of Yimos Mashiach. It seems in the writings of the Rambam at the end of the Mishnah Torah that there'll be two phases in Yimos Mashiach, and the first will be in the natural order of things, where there'll be only a removal of the Shibud Malchus, but then subsequently there will be the miraculous Yimos Mashiach that was spoken about by the Nevi'im and in the Rishonim and the Chazals and the Zohar and so on. So the Avni Nezer is saying that it's not enough just to have the Mishabe taken away. So once the British were taken away from Eretz Yisrael, that didn't mean that the Jews, see, Ben Gurion felt, and so did other secular people, well now the Jews could be left alone and we're just going to be like everybody else. It doesn't work that way with us. We just don't become like anybody else. Why? Because there's a kfelus, there's that double personality that we have. Number one, remove that which is artificial. Take away the nation that is disturbing our healthy growth. But that's not enough. Number two, means reattachment to the master of the world. Because we don't have a Metzius in the vacuum. We don't live. Our life is not just lived in the absence of oppressors. We have to connect to Hashem. Because we have a Metzius in Hashem and that's it. So therefore, he's right. That's what the Rebbe is saying here. And this is what's hinted at in the double letters of redemption. Now listen to what he says. How each of the double letters has a certain quality that reflects upon the removal of something which is foreign, and then connecting to something new. So he explains. Mem stuma. You know, there's only one place in the entire Tanakh where there's a mem stuma at the beginning of a word. Anybody know? In Tanakh, you have lamarba hamisra. Shalom enket lamarba is when he speaks about Mashiach. That it speaks about his. The Navi speaks about his. Yeshai speaks about his power. It says lamarba hamisra, and the word marba, which is that it'll have great authority and power. It's a closed mem at the beginning of the sentence. It's a closed mem. Lamar Bahamis is talking about Mashiach, it's the only place in Tanakh. Mem Stuma, the Rabbi says, the closed mem, what we call the end of mem, the closed mem, Mor al Siluk Koach Achitzonim. The closed mem means a removal of external influence. We shut ourselves in. It means the Jewish people become enclosed and isolated once again within ourselves, and we extract all that is foreign. That's the meaning of that closed mem, the Mem Stuma. Vehikechoma bitzura. Next page, the other side of the page. And it's like the closed mem is like a fortified wall. A fortified wall b'fnei kol zar, before any enemy, keeping away all enemies. K'moshekosev ani eyala chomas eish saviv. As Hashem promises us, that I will be like a wall of fire surrounding you and protecting you. So the mem stuma, the closed mem, is like a wall. It's like an embrace, a closed wall where Hashem sends out all of those who are oppressing us, and He surrounds us with His own protective embrace, and that's the closed mem. So that's the removal of all oppressors is the closed mem. That the Jewish people return within the walls of Eretz Yisrael, within the walls of Am Yisrael. Mem Psucha. And what's the open mem, the regular mem? What's called the Mem Psucha? Mora sheyad Yisrael psucha lekabel birkas Hashem. In Chazal, the mem psucha, the open mem, symbolizes the readiness of the Jewish people to open their hands to receive the blessings of Hashem. In other words, it means reattachment to Hashem, opening up to Hashem. The mem stuma means closing ourselves off from the oppressors. The open mem means reaching again with our hands open to Hashem. Uchi'in yishakosuv, what's written, Tehillim ki pa'arti ve'eshpa. I will open up, pi pa'arti, I open my mouth and I swallow. In other words, it means to open wide in order to receive. Ushneim remuzim b'pasuk echad, anochi Hashem elokecha, ha-ma'alcha me'eretz Mitzrayim. It says in the pasuk, I am Hashem your God, and I will raise you up, I will take you out from me'eretz Mitzrayim. It's interesting that the word Mitzrayim, now you know that all of our exiles come from Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim begins with a mem psucha, and it concludes with a mem stuma. Mitzrayim was going, the defeat of Mitzrayim means the liberation of the open mem and the end mem. Since the word Mitzrayim begins and ends, begins with a mem psucha, ends with a mem stuma. The ultimate end of all of our enemies, were symbolized by Mitzrayim, since all the exiles were already found in Mitzrayim, means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to liberate the open mem and the closed mem. So it says, Anochi Hashem Elokecha Malcha Me'eretz Mitzrayim, Ki Lumas Mem Stuma, so that means the removal of the enemy, of the obstruction, that's the Mem Stuma. Then it says afterwards, that's the pasuk. Anochi, the first part of the pasuk is, Anochi Hashem Elokecha Malcha Me'eretz Mitzrayim, I'm going to take you away from your oppressors. I'm going to remove you. That's the Mem Stuma, right? That's the closed mem. I'm going to take you to be with me. And take you away from your enemies. I'm going to be masalik the mishabeh. The end of the pasuk says, Harchev picha va'amalehu. Open your mouths wide, and I will fill your mouths with my presence. So the pasuk has two things. Number one, I'm going to take you out of Mitzrayim. That's the mem stuma, the closed mem. Right? And then the mem psucha is, Harchev picha va'amalehu. Open your mouths wide, and I will then fill you with my presence. Zelu mas mem psucha. That's the open mem. And so it is with all letters that are kfufos and pshutos. All letters that are kfufos and all letters that are pshutos. Kfufos means closed or bent over. Kfufos means like surrounding letters, closed letters. And pshutos means the open letters. Haosios apshutos. The open letters, Moras al Cherus Vesiluk Ol Hamishabe. The open letters reveal the being freed from the Mishabe, from the oppressor. Ketaima the Review, the Bishah says, it says, the Beyavlis Shehem Likro Dror, the token Bipshutin. It says that when we blow the shofar for the Yovel, Rabbi Yehuda says, what sound do you make when you blow the shofar? Shofar, you make Pshutin. Pshutim, a simple sound. In other words, the letters, Poshut means something, it means when something is, since Yovel is the time when all the who are enslaved, all who are oppressed are liberated, are freed. Therefore, the simple letters, or the open letters, that indicate being freed from the oppressor. So that's hinted at in the Pshutos, in the simple blowing of the shofar. That took place in the Yovel, which is a time of liberating. And the letters that are bent over are a symbol of the Jewish people being subservient to Hashem, turning to Hashem. To receive Mitzias, reality from Him alone. As it says in Rosh Hashanah, token v'kfufin, mishum dekame dekayif inish dayit etvei malat, ayin sham. In other words, on the Yovel, two things. One is, pshutos means that they used a straight shofar. On the Yovel, a straight shofar was used to make the simple sounds, the simple notes, a straight shofar. Because that means being freed from the oppressors, the openness. And then on Rosh Hashanah, it says that you use a shofar that is bent. Right? There the shofar is dafka bent. And the reason that it's bent, the Gemara says, the reason that it's bent is because because the kol kama the kayif inish daitit fei mali. The more, because being bent means making yourself humble and a servant to Hashem, like bending over to Hashem. Therefore, that the curved shofar of Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara says, means that a person recognizes that he has to be, humble himself before God. Ayin shom v'rashi. V'hine yadua she'ikarin shal galiyus he galus Mitzrayim. We know that the exile of Egypt was the root and source of all the exiles. She kolelus akol, it included the four exiles. V'kol ha'galiyus hain ha'shlom la'arba me'yos shana shahayu s'richus s'richim liyos me'mitzrayim. Everybody knows that we didn't complete the 400 years of exile, and Chazal tell us that therefore all the other exiles that we were to experience throughout history were to complete those 400 years that we never finished in Mitzrayim. In other words, had we finished the 400 years in Mitzrayim, then it would not have been necessary to have other exiles. How do we finish that? But we didn't, and therefore we have these other exiles. V'yesh lomar od, shagam ha-ge'ula shahaysel ha-avos. He says, also, each one of the avos, each one of our fathers that had a ge'ula, Avram Ur Kasdim, Avram who was taken out of Ur Kasdim, Yitzchak mi plishtim, Yitzchak was redeemed from the plishtim, Yaakov mi Esav, ha-isa ha-chana le-ge'ulas Yisrael. That was all a preparation for the Jewish people's redemption. In other words, they themselves did not need those redemptions. Ki ha'avos la'atzam la'hayitzrichim l'galus l'gula. The avos did not need galus l'gula. We spoke about this very often in the shul. That all that the avos went through and the imos went through was only to prepare a way for the Jewish people. In footnote 38, it says, Ki sha'ar muzal, sha'amar kash baruch l'avram, tsei u'kvosh ha'derech l'fnei banecha. Hashem told Avram Avinu, go and conquer a path for your children. So therefore, wherever Avram Avinu would go, and he would free himself, and he would rise up against his enemies, that was a path that was being prepared for the Jewish people in the future. Whatever Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov did, that was for making it easier so the Jewish people would be able to go through Golus and then ultimately to have Geula. But they themselves didn't need it. Ki ha'avos la'atzam la'hayitzrichim la'golus ha'gula. Ki hema, it says, there's a pasuk from Divrei Yom. Ki hema ha'yotzrim v'yoshvei natoim u'gedera im ha'melech v'melachto yoshvu sham. That means that the Chazal, when they speak about the avos, they say this pasuk in Divrei Yom, which means that the avos resided there in the service of the king. That they lived, that they resided peacefully in the service of the king. V'darshu Chazal im ha'melech malchei ha'melechem kadosh baruch hu v'melachto himelechas b'riyas ha'olam. In other words, the Avos did not need to be in Golus and Geula. That wasn't for them. But they were partners to Hashem. They were in the service of the king. And their partnership meant that they had to forge a path for the Jewish people in the future to be able to survive exile, survive Golus, and to be able to be redeemed. But it wasn't for them. Elakol ha-Golius v'ha-Gula mehen ha-kol ha-yolapol dimyoni al-Yisrael la-asid. It was all for the sake of the Jewish people in the future. Therefore, Yosef HaTzadik goes down to Egypt, and the reason Yosef HaTzadik was there, and he went through horrible tests and temptations, was because the Jewish people are going to have to later on go into Mitzrayim and go through those difficulties. And so it is the whole story of Bereishis. The whole book of Bereishis is just planting the seeds so the Jewish people would be able to survive Golus and to come out with a Geula, with a redemption. Val Kain, therefore, Kamo Shehayu Yisrael b'Mitzrayim k'ubar b'ma'ei b'hema. Chazal say that the Jewish people in Egypt were like an animal, like a fetus, inside the mother, inside the cow, like a calf, a fetus inside the cow. Ne'edrei ha-metzius l'gamrei. The Jewish people in Mitzrayim didn't exist. It's not like other nations that are oppressed. When people are being oppressed, they have their existence, except it's a miserable existence. When the Jewish people are enslaved, when we're not connected to Hashem, then it's not pshat that we have a miserable existence. It's b'chlal not an existence. What happened to our people in the historical experience of Klal Yisrael, whenever it was, it wasn't like other nations. I remember when they started to use, at least that's when I first started to hear the use of the word ghetto to refer to the inner city. And I recall the anger of my father when he heard the word ghetto being used to describe a situation where people could, to a large extent, pull themselves out of it if they wanted to. Because in that world of my father, ghetto meant something entirely different, as you all understand. That was something different, what a ghetto was in Europe, and what a ghetto meant, what a ghetto means, what they call a ghetto over here, if you want to, you can leave. Right?
I'm not saying it's always so simple. People have other things to overcome to get out of the ghetto, but it's up to your bechira. But as far as our parents and grandparents and how they lived throughout history, it wasn't a matter of choice. The experience of Klal Yisrael in history has been not when we've been oppressed. It hasn't been a difficult existence. It's been a heder hametzias. It's not a metzias at all. It can't be described as metzias. It's like the daughter of that nobleman of Jerusalem picking out barley from the manure of donkeys. It's not pshat that we have a difficult gullus. Like the nations of the world, there have been other people that have been oppressed. I also wasn't too pleased when Elie Wiesel began to describe other situations in history as holocausts and so on. And in my eyes, he dropped a couple, his stock went down when he started to speak that way, because we know he did it, not because he really believes it. He spoke that way to, because he wanted to be, you know, he became the Nobel Peace Prize winner, so he had to be more of a universal type of a humanitarian. But whoever would dare to compare the experience of Klal Yisrael to any nation's experience, the experience that we've had, it's the difference between nations have experienced difficulty. I'm not, God forbid, making fun of that, and there have been terrible, terrible tsaros in the world. But the Jewish people have had a head their hametzias, and then the most remarkable return to life, which is only understood in light of what the Avnei is explaining, in light of this double quality of that once the shibud is removed, then we have that reattachment to Hashem that lifts us up out of that shibud in the most remarkable way. It's all supernatural. But he says that's described by Chazal. The Chazal say that we were like a fetus inside a cow. Nedra mitzis lagamay v'shal kein nitzruchu lagula b'kifayim. Therefore, we needed a double redemption. Hainelo tziyam ikarev Mitzrayim. We had to be taken out. In other words, we had to be born. We had to come out of Mitzrayim. U'shniya lach nisam tachas kamfei hashchindom. We had to come to Eretz Yisrael. We had to receive the Torah and come to Eretz Yisrael. V'kolzman hayosom nedari hametzias v'mitzrayim lahoy evshah shetovol hametzias and nechbedes ma'ashem. Hashem couldn't give us. Hashem wasn't going to give us a Torah in Mitzrayim. We had to be taken away from the oppressor, brought back to the closed memstuma, and then to our own existence, and then to receive a new mitzvah from Hashem, which is the Torah, which is Eretz Yisrael, a new mitzvah. K'mosh iyev sholah hazinus ha'ubar shelo b'emtzos ha'ein. Just like you cannot feed the fetus unless it's through the mother, you cannot feed the fetus. So k'nami, so too. In other words, as long as we were in Egypt, we could not be fed by Hashem, so to speak. As long as we were in Egypt, we were locked up in a foreign place. We couldn't receive our sustenance from Torah. Just like a baby inside the womb cannot receive its food from any place else, except through the mother. Kein nami hagoli yishal ha'ovis v'asher ha'yudug melagolos mitzrayim ha'yinami bofen hazeh shal ha'yisen ha'cheves mitzuyus ha'mitzuyus ter ma'gulu shalahem. So too it was by Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov, that since they prepared the path for the Jewish people, they had no mitzuyus, they had no reality, until they were redeemed from their places. That's why all of them, in order for them to have children, in order for them to become wealthy, they had to go through that process. Alkein, therefore, tutzak behem, nami hagula b'kiflaim, therefore that concept of a double redemption is justified when speaking about the Ovis as well. Alkein b'gula shalahem, nami haosios kfulos. And that's why by the Ovos, the letters are also double, to indicate those two aspects of being freed from galus and then connecting to Hashem, which is redemption. So now the Avnei says we can understand Golos Mitzrayim. Ubezara Kodesh, Omer Rabbi Loza, it says, Omer Rabbi Loza, Rabbi Shimon Avoy. The Rabbi Loza said to his father, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Ma choma kutshabichu lenachti Yisrael Mitzrayim Megalusa. Rabbi Eliezer asked his father, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, what did Hashem see that he placed the Jewish people in Golus, in exile in Egypt? So it's an interesting thing. Rabbi Shimon asked him, are you asking me one question or are you asking me two questions? What are you asking me? One question or two questions? I'm asking you two questions. Gelusa lama ul Mitzrayim lama. Why is it that there is Golus and why Mitzrayim? Well, the feeder kaini yesh lomer, and according to what we're learning, it could be explained. Kiba asher ha'isa ha'kavana shi Yisrael yis'atru b'metzias nechbo adam yashem yisbarach b'chvodu v'atmo. Since the purpose
was ultimately that the Jewish people should be crowned with a reality from Hashem alone, only from Hashem, a new Metzias, Bli Metzias Abba B'Mishtari HaTeva, and it was not meant for the Jewish people to have a Metzias within the natural order of things, as Ben-Gurion wanted, that the Jewish people should live a natural life and have all the natural political, social, economic conditions of other healthy nations. That wasn't Hashem's intention. Therefore, it's necessary for us to go through this galus where we would be like an uber b'mori behema, like a fetus inside the mother, inside the animal's womb. That we should have no existence at all in Egypt. That galus should have provide for us no existence at all. V'rak oz achar sheyigalu v'yu arum v'erya. That's why when Hashem found us in Mitzrayim, so to speak, we describe this va'at erom ve'erya. What? You are totally naked and unclothed, which means, for those of you that don't recall, I'm sure you do remember Animal Farm, where those who were oppressed, when they experienced that freedom, and when they were able to escape the oppressors, or to drive them away, then they in turn became more vicious oppressors than their own. So Hashem said to the Jewish people, you are completely naked without me. You're not returning to, you have nowhere to go, you have nothing. You have only me. You have nothing. You have no identity. You have nothing other than me. So Hashem says that at Arom I found you completely naked. Completely naked. Without any metzias. In Egypt you didn't have metzias. That wasn't the metzias. You didn't have like other nations. It wasn't the metzias. The Yorim Ve'eria, Bli Levush Tivi Klal. Naked means without any natural clothing. Without anywhere to go, anywhere to turn to. Oz Yiye Evshol HaChnisam Tachas Kanfei HaShechina. Now you can come with me and I'm going to give you the Torah. Now I'm going to make you my people. I mean, we spoke about this very often, as long as you feel that you have your own natural existence without Hashem, so then you can't become completely attached to Hashem. Hashem will only tolerate those who come to him naked, without anything. And that's why the Maharal explains, and we've spoken it very often, that's why the Torah was given in the desert. That's because we have to be like, you have to be like a desert to receive the Torah. If you have your own hang-ups and your own preconceived notions of what the truth is, of what I have, this is the way it has to be, so then there's no room for Torah in your life. The Torah has to be, Torah has to descend into a person's life when that person has no Metzias except for Torah and says, I'm waiting for Metzias. I have no reality other than Torah. If we understand with ourselves. This is what the Rebbe is writing over here. Avobli ha'agolus shemetziusam shamtiya shalobim mimishtari ha'mareches lahay evshalach nisam le'metzias ha'nechbedes anal. Ki alavush shal seyda mareches ha'yechotzeis. If the Jewish people had become comfortable throughout history, in Egypt or other places, with the natural order of things, if we had had a history like other people, like Italians or Irish or whatever, we had a regular history, then we would not be, then he says, then the Seder HaMareches, the natural order of existence would be a chatzitza, would separate between us and Hashem. The Jewish people have experienced a history which indicates that we have no Metzias other than Hashem. We don't have a Metzias other than Hashem. And the nations of the world recognize that about us as well, and they're not pleased about it. But this point of if you become comfortable in a certain seder of Metzias, in your own natural order of things, that you can't be a person of Torah, that's something which is very much nogeya to us in every day of our lives. It's nogeya to us. Rav Huttner once said, it's brought down, I think, in the, Rav Volbi brings down in the name of Rav Huttner, as I think that's what I remember, that Rav Huttner said that there's a difference between, there's a very big difference between the religious philosophers of the nations of the world. After all, they had some very great people. They had people like, you know, Thomas Aquinas people of the highest spiritual caliber by their standards, people of great spiritual character. Deep thinkers and great philosophers of religion.
And Lahavdil, we've had our Rambams, and Lahavdil, Elif Alef Hevdels, we had our Rambams, and we have every Yehuda Levis and so on. So if we're going to say, you know the difference is that the philosophers, the religious philosophers of the world, they look at the world, they look at existence, and they try to understand how does God fit into reality. Whereas Rav Huttner said that our philosophers look at God and they try to understand how does reality fit into God. It's a whole different way of looking at things. And that makes a difference of how you and I live as well. There are some people who their orthodoxy, as much as I detest that term, but their orthodoxy works in the following way. I am a healthy American, and I want to enjoy all the benefits of being in America, what America has to offer. And I would like to know, in the context of my healthy American lifestyle, how can I be an Orthodox Jew? Right? How can I be an Orthodox Jew? So people that have that philosophy will end up at all kinds of, you know, Orthodox get-togethers where it's not conducted according to the Torah. And it's called Orthodox, and the food is glav kosher. Then there's another type of a Jew. The other type of Jew thinks, the essence of my life is Torah, and Shulchan Aruch. And if I'm going to have any, that's what I want to do, that's my life. And if there's anything that's questionable, I have to find out whether or not that fits into the life of Torah. In other words, there are people who try to make Torah fit into their lives, and there are people who are trying to figure out how does life fit into Torah, and there's a very big difference in how you live. Right? You could spend your whole life, excuse me, I don't mean this personally, you could spend your whole life trying to say how, you know, many Orthodox rabbis, that they watch television and so on, that's that perspective of, I want to watch television. The question is, how do I explain according to the Torah that is permitted? But if you went to Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, he would just spit on the ground. Right? And he said, you can't do it. So, and again, I'm not trying to impose anything. I'm just trying to sensitize us to this mistake that we fall into over our years of Golus, to think that, well, I have a Metzius I'm a regular person of the world. I have a Metzius. And in addition to that, I'm something special. I'm also an Orthodox Jew. That's not how it works. We only have one Metzius. We have one Metzius. And that is, as Jews. The question is something permissible? You ask a Posek if it's permissible. That's how we live. But you know, many people, they prefer certain things, they don't ask the Posek. It's better not to ask. Right? It's better not to ask. Well, that's where that comes from. So the Avinezer is telling us, based upon this whole mahalak, this whole approach to the Maharal, is that we didn't have a Metzius in Mitzrayim, because a Jew should not think that there's such a thing as a Metzius without Hashem. There isn't a Metzius without Hashem. There is not a Metzius without Hashem. And that's what makes life in modern Eretz Yisrael so confusing. Because it's an attempt. It's an attempt to create a Metzius of the Jewish people in our land, which is not Alpi Torah, by those people who are doing that. I'm not speaking, God forbid, about the B'nai Torah. But to create a Jewish life, a Jewish land, this Dershowitz wrote a new book. Did you hear about this new book he wrote? Yeah. Did you read about a little bit of the contents of this book? Yeah, I read it. That's why I read it in the book review. Yeah, an excellent review. Oh, I got nervous. I thought you were going to say it sounds like an excellent book. But you hear what his own son married a Catholic girl. His grandchildren are not Jewish. So Dershowitz is struggling. Here's a boy that comes from home. So Dershowitz, huh? Yeah, my family knows him. My wife's family. So what's Dershowitz struggling with? He's trying to redefine Judaism so that his grandchildren should be Jewish, right? In other words, we must find a new definition for what it means to be Jewish. So we're proud of the fact that we went through the Holocaust, we're proud of Israel, we're proud of all these things. You know, we're proud people. But Dershowitz, your grandchildren are not Jewish. And yeah, that's why he's so angry with, you saw him in the review, the way he speaks about the Torah, about Rabban. It's unbelievable the way he's lashing out.
As a lawyer, when he argues a case, he has to deal with precedent. That's what judges decide. And he knows the Torah is Hashemite. He knows.
Yeah.
And that he can discard, but judge made law, he can't discard. He knows.
You should try to see this. It was in the Sunday Book Review. You read it? No?
You don't see the Torah has nothing to do with Judaism.
Torah has nothing to do with Judaism. He has to come up with a new definition because he can't live with the fact
that he threw away Torah and he has grandchildren that aren't Jewish. So instead of coming to terms with that, he's trying to figure out a new type of Judaism.
But it just proves his mother, who's a very plain woman,
yeah,
and not too educated, said, where did I go wrong?
Yeah.
Wasn't that Mendelssohn's old Torah? I mean,
that was the Shorish.
Yeah.
The Shorish was from him. He was the Ovi Ovis Atom.
Yeah.
Even though he was shown a mitzvah. So the day he died.
More learned than dirt.
Mendelssohn was a Talmud Chacham. Mendelssohn was a Talmud Chacham. He wrote a very chosher parish on Tanakh with the Chassam Sefer Zaskam. But he was the beginning. It was that shorish that grew out of there. Something that was, I'm glad you brought it. That was the crookedness of Mendelssohn. He was shomer mitzvahs. But the point was that the Jewish people have to have, we have a mitzvah as Germans. And we have a mitzvah as Germans and Jewish Germans. This doesn't mean, God forbid, that we don't defend the country that we're living in. And I know that I was brought up to be fiercely proud of America. And I am. I am. I love America, and I respect America, and I'm thankful to Hashem all the time that we have a place like this. but you mean you're a Jew that's living in America, and benefiting from the good grace of Hashem who brought you to a place where at least on this way over to Eretz Yisrael that we have a golus where we could find the place where we could build yeshivas and have Torah. But it's not that there's a what Mendelssohn was mechadish was the mitzias of a German Jew. That wasn't Rav Shamsa Fala Hirsch Lahavdil. Rav Shamsa Fala Hirsch was that you're a Jew. But in Judaism, within Torah, his understanding, he was a great man, within Torah, there is certain, we could follow the guidelines of Halacha and still, give a drush in German, let's say, right? That was his interpretation of Halacha, and he was an Eilech Yid, but he wasn't trying to redefine Judaism. He didn't do that, God forbid. That wasn't Rav Shamsa Fala Hirsch. But that was the beginning of Reform. That was the beginning of Reform. And it spills over now. It spilled over. I mean, I can't say it's not. It spilled over into our lives in a very, very, in a very, very clear way. How it spilled over into our lives. How there are many, many things that are casually done that are not according to halacha, but these are the rules and regulations of American society. And even though it's against halacha, that people that don't follow that, we think that they're strange Jews. There's something strange about them. There's something odd. I remember reading. I didn't read this. I heard this from, there's a Professor Gottlieb in Eretz Yisrael. He's a brilliant man. He's a Boston Achasin, as a Baal Tshuva, he teaches in Eretz Yisrael. He was originally taught in MIT. He became a Baal Tshuva. So, Professor Gottlieb was telling that when he was a young man, he was in Sunday school, the temple, and the Sunday school made this project that they were going to take the kids to see different Sundays with different religious groups. And then they also went to spend time with Friday to be with a Muslim group and so on. So Gottlieb said that he asked, I heard in Williamsburg, in Brooklyn, they have this, they're called the Hasidic group. Can we go see that? So the people who are running the Sunday school said, they're crazy. That's crazy. That's completely outdated. We'll go to the Amish. They took him to Presbyterian, to Lutheran, to Muslim. But he said, can we go to see it? I heard there's something in Williamsburg, the Jews, they go. He says, that's crazy. That's not for us. That's not for us. Then that's what he's saying. That ki halavushal seida ma'areches hayachotis. So Hashem didn't give us. When we lived in Mitzrayim, we didn't live a normal existence, even as slaves. There was no mitzvahs at all. And when he took that, he said, At Aaron Ver, you're naked. Yeah, there's nothing. We're starting from Aleph. That's where we're starting from Aleph. And Aleph, you learn like a Jew in Aleph. Valkane hoise eitzel achnisam, the next, achnisam mikodim begolus, vidavke begolus Mitzrayim. Shabbat shir hoyu afochim lam lagarme, alkane hoyu nechshovim nedorim mitzvahs lagarme, therefore Hashem put us into a galus. That was the answer to Rabbi Loza's question of Rabbi Shimon. That Hashem put us into a galus, which is the opposite of who we are. Because when something is in its opposite, that takes away, that's the greatest threat to its metzias, obviously. Right? When you put something in its opposite place, that's the greatest threat to its metzias. When you throw water on the fire, that threatens the metzias. If you put something else on the fire, that could increase its metzias. But the opposite threatens the metzias. Therefore, the Jew takes away Mitzvahs. Therefore, we, the Jewish people, were thrown into Egypt, which is the opposite of who we are. in order to take away from us a metzius, and then we'd be removed from that unnatural, oppressive atmosphere, world, and then Hashem would give us a brand new shiny metzius, which is called Taurus Moshe. Ulefi ha'amr yisbar shulonu divrei chazal, v'yishal chayu me'eh mechevron v'eitz amukah shalaiset tzadik shakover v'chevron. When it says Veishalchem Yehem Chevron, he sent them from the valley of Chevron, so that when Yaakov Avinu sent Yosef Atzadik to go to the brothers, so you know that was going to cause that was going to bring to the Golos of Mitzrayim. So Chazal asked, what does it mean? Why is it called Emek Chevron? Since in Mitzias it's not an Emek, why is it called the Valley of Chevron? So Chazal make a play on the words and say Beitza Amuka Shel Oso Tzadik Shekover BeChevron. It comes from the deep advice and plans and preparations that were made by that great tzaddik who's buried in Chevron. Because Chevron is not a valley. So it's made by the tzaddik, the eitz amuka of the tzaddik who's buried in Chevron. In other words, what? That Avraham Avinu, that there was an eitz amuka that was already revealed in the Brisbane Abbasorum that the Jewish people are going to have to be slaves, the Jewish people are going to be in Golos and Mitzrayim. It is a very deep eitza. Our experience in Golas was not to just the punishment, God forbid. It was for the purpose of taking away from us the mitzias of this world and giving us the opportunity to have a new mitzias. That's the double letters of Gula. Pakod pakadati. Two levels. Each time. Lech lecha. Pakod pakadati. Each the double letter, and that's why you have the osius that are pshutos and the osius that are kfufos that reveal these two aspects of our redemption. One is to take away the enemy, and the other is to bring us back to Hashem. That's the deep eitzer. Heinlish omek rom tovam mitziusam, that the Jewish people. We live either, our life comes from the deepest depth, and then we rise to the highest heights. That's what Yochanan Zakkai said, Ashreichim Yisrael. Ashreichim, how fortunate you are, that when you sink mamish to the bottom. You sink to the bottom. But when you rise to the top. And the reason for that is, that when we sink, it means that we're turned away from Hashem, that means we've lost our claim to Mitzias, because our Mitzias is only with Hashem. So we sink mamish to the bottom. Because we don't have any natural Mitzias, like Rome or like Athens. So we sink to the bottom. But when things are going well, then we don't become a regular people. Then we soar above the world. And that's the omikron, from the lowest depth to the greatest height. That's the eitz amuka of the eitz tzaddik hakover b'chevron. The eitz that comes that tells the Jewish people that no matter how low they've fallen and the oimik that they're in, nevertheless, that since their mitzvah comes from Hashem, if they turn to Hashem, they can be lifted up above the whole world. Ulefi ha'omer, the last paragraph, yisparsh nam inyan beferach. Now we come back to the beginning. That in Egypt we worked avodas perach. Sheberosh devarenu. Shaperish lolo toela sapula la havidam bilvad. So you remember that the Rebbe explained at the beginning. That avodas perach means Avodas Perach means not backbreaking labor. The Chazal say that according to Halacha, the definition is that someone makes you work for no reason at all. For no reason at all, stam, just to torment you. As I was talking about last week in the concentration camps, that was the worst. Stam. No, there's no tachlis. I think the Rav Pam, the Rav Pam once said that he gave a mushal to what could this be compared in Mitzrayim. So Rav Pam said that they took a Jew, and to what could the avoda in Mitzrayim be compared to a person who was put into prison, and they gave him a thing, in the old days, a grinding, a stone, to turn, in the cell, and he was pushing day and night, that was his gzera, in the cell, so the only comfort he had was that he was thinking that he's feeding thousands of hungry people from the flour that he's grinding, that was his comfort. So finally, after 30 years of doing this, so the Egyptians, the people let him out from jail, and he said, just show me the cellar. I want to see the kind of places that I filled up. And they left, and they said, come over here, and they showed him. There was nothing. It was a joke. There was no grain at all. He just did that day and night for 30 years. Not one mouth was fed. So Rav Pam said that when it says in Chazal, the Pisim and Ramses, it couldn't even stand, right? Everything they built fell down. That's called Avodas Perach. Avodas Perach is not a hard day's work. Avodas Perach is working for no tachlis. There's no tachlis. It's just to hurt you. Just to oppress, just to be cruel, for no tachlis. Like in Eved Ivri, he's told to warm up to boil up some water, and the guy just throws it on the floor. He doesn't kill him. That's Avodas Perach. Kiba Asher Hoyahat Sarach Sheyu Nadari Mitzias Lagamre. Because since it was necessary that the Jewish people should be in a place where all of their mitzias would be taken away from them, their whole reality would be taken away. Even their slavery, even their work, had no mitzias. There was no mitzias to their slavery. It was just going in circles, building things that fell. Nothing. There's no mitzias to their slavery. Having the men do women's work, the women do men's work, no mitzias. There was no toelis. It meant nothing because they couldn't produce there. When the Jewish people are attached to the Torah, then we're the most productive people in the world. Because if we would have been productive in Egypt, we would have been part of the natural order of things, and we would have been a productive contributor to the chevra minha enoshi, to the natural society of humanity. And that's not our mitzvahs. That's not our mitzvahs. Our mitzvahs is a mitzvahs that is from Hashem. And even in history, that how productive the Jewish people have been with all of the gullies and what we've accomplished despite all of these things. Could you imagine what will be Mitzvah Mashiach will come? That you can't even imagine. When we finally have our real mitzvahs, when we have our real mitzvahs. What we have now in Eretz Yisrael is not the mitzvahs of Gaul. It's not the mitzvahs of redemption. This isn't what the Rebbeinu Shlomo was talking about, and that's not what the Navi Yeshaya saw. This isn't the Gula. But when we have Mitzvah Shema Gula, we'll see what it means, a Gula. Not just to be taken away from our enemies, not just that we shouldn't have people beating us up and locking us in concentration camp, but we should have the Emistik and Mitzvahs from Hashem. That's what we're waiting for. And that's the promise of Mashiach. There's also the double letters. Ish Tzamach Shemo, Umitach Tov, Yitzmach, and the Mashiach, Tekenim, Hem, Yomeno, Amen.